If I told you you could share your faith in Christ powerfully, naturally, and effectively in 3 to 5 minutes, and people would actually listen, would you like to learn how to do that? Well, then stick around.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. I'm Dave Drewy, and today Chip will help you learn to tell your story of salvation in a simple and compelling way. Now, it's a method of sharing the gospel that has been used since the time of Christ, and it's one of the most naturally persuasive methods as well. Now, this is a great message to share with a friend or perhaps with your small group or Sunday school class. Now, you can always hear it again by going to lote.org, that's our website, and clicking on the Listen Online button there. Or you can sign up for our daily podcast. Now, the Living on the Edge podcasts are free, and it only takes a few minutes to subscribe. So simply go to lote.org and click on the Listen Online button, and then follow the brief instructions for subscribing to our podcast. Now let's join Chip for today's message.
I've never met anyone that doesn't like a story. In fact, who's the most powerful, most effective communicator of all time? It's Jesus. How did Jesus teach? He told stories. Do you realize one of the most powerful, effective, and natural ways you can share the love of Christ with other people is by telling your story? It's non-threatening. It's helpful. In fact, you know why it's so important for you to tell your story? Number one is that people are interested. You know, it doesn't matter what you're doing, if you're bowling, if you're working in the yard, if there's a neighbor, if it's a workplace, you say, hey, where'd you come from? Where'd you grow up? What do people do all the time? They tell their story. And then you know what they're going to do? They're going to ask you. And if you can include in your story your relationship with Christ, wow, power. People are interested in your story. You know what? They can relate to it. Everyone has ups. Everyone has downs. Most people grew up in some kind of a family. And third, people can't argue with it. You know, you can say, I believe this, I believe that, I believe this, I believe this. There's all my opinions. And people argue about that. But when you say, I grew up in this home, and when I was 11-year-old, or 15-year-old, or 27-year-old, this is where my life was. I met Christ. Christ transformed my life. This is how my life is different. What am I going to say? That didn't really happen to you. You can't argue with it. It's true of you. Now, here's the question. How do you learn to tell your story? How do regular people like you and me learn in natural, non-threatening, winsome ways tell our story to people who God loves so we can be that bridge where they have these needs and these hurts and God loves them and they can hear about it in a way that's non-threatening as you just tell your story? Acts chapter 26, the Apostle Paul says, I'm going to get one shot. And not only do I want to communicate Christ, but it would really be nice to get out of prison. And so what's he going to do? He's going to tell his story. Acts chapter 6, 26, Paul's in prison, and he's been accused of all kind of things. Picking it up at verse 1, then King Agrippa said to Paul, you have permission to speak for yourself. So Paul motioned with his hand, and he began his defense. King Agrippa, I consider myself fortunate to stand before you today as I make my defense against all the accusations of the Jews. And especially so because you are well acquainted with all the Jewish customs and controversies. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. Paul's been brought in before King Agrippa and King Festus. He's been accused of all these things. There's people persecuting him. He gets a chance, so he's kind of standing here, and there's this tribunal, and he gets to share his defense. That's the setting. You know, he says, hey, King Agrippa, it's really a pretty good deal. I'm glad to be here, And I could share this in front of a lot of people. I'm glad I get to share it with you. And I'm glad because you're knowledgeable. And he wasn't blowing smoke. He knew about him. And you're acquainted with Jewish customs. And I know that you'll be fair and impartial. Now, I don't know about you, but when someone says that about me before they give a presentation, my immediate reaction is, now, this guy's very educated, of course. And he might have something very worthwhile to say. Now, notice where he goes. Paul divides his story in three succinct, very clear sections. This is how the greatest intellect in the world spiritually shares his story. 3 points. Before Christ, how I met Christ, how my life is different after Christ. Follow along with me. Beginning in verse 4. He says, "The Jews all know the way I've lived ever since I was a child, from the beginning of my life in my own country and also in Jerusalem. They have known me for a long time, and they can testify, if they are willing, that according to the strictest sect of our religion, I lived as a Pharisee. And now it is because of my hope in what God has promised our fathers that I'm on trial today. This is the promise our 12 tribes are hoping to see fulfilled as they earnestly serve God day and night. O king, it is because of this hope that the Jews are accusing me." So what he's saying is, hey, look, this isn't just about me. This isn't a personality issue. I'm a hardcore Pharisee, Jew. I was really committed. And we all hung on to this hope. And then now he's going to develop a story. "Why should any of you consider it incredible that God raises people from the dead? I too," now here's his past life, "I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And this is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priests, I put many of the saints in prison. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Many a time I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished. And I tried to force them to blaspheme." In other words, he was going around chasing Christians, throwing them in jail. He was zealous, going after them, synagogue to synagogue. And he tried to get them to say, hey, deny Christ, deny Christ. And then notice, how does he describe himself? "In my obsession against them, I even went to foreign cities to persecute them." So what he's saying is, you got to know my background. This group is now accusing me of being one of these wild-eyed Christians. I just want you to know, I used to kill them for a living. Pick it up with me on verse 12. "On one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and the commission of the chief priests. About noon, O king, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing all around me. We fell to the ground, and then I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' And then I asked, 'Who are you, Lord?'" Or, "Who are you, sir?" I mean, whoa, I don't hear voices very often. What's going on here? "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting," the Lord replied. "Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me, and I will show you. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. So," here's the good news, "so they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among all those who are sanctified by me in faith." And so he's standing before this king. This is one shot. He says, "This is what my life was like before. I used to kill Christians. And then I was on my way to kill some of these Christians. And boom, got knocked down, blazing light, heard voices. Jesus speaks to me. And he says, not only this is what you used to do, now this is what you're going to do in the future. I'm going to use you to your own people and then to the Gentiles." So he's telling his story. Notice as he tells his story, it's specific. It's personal testimony. It's not hearsay. He's sharing, this is exactly what happened to me. Third point in Paul's story is he says, here's the results. Here's the AD. This is after Christ. "So then," verse 19, "King Agrippa, I wasn't disobedient to the vision from heaven." I mean, I didn't just listen to that and not do anything. "First to those in Damascus, and then to those in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and to the Gentiles also, I preached that they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds. That is why the Jews seized me in the temple courts and they tried to kill me. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses would have said, that the Christ or the Messiah would suffer and, as the first to rise from the dead, would proclaim light to his own people and to the Gentiles." He's saying, "King, I just followed through on what Jesus told me. And I started right there where it happened at Damascus. And then I went back to Jerusalem and I preached. And then I went to all Judea. And God did these amazing things." At this point, Festus interrupts Paul. "You're out of your mind, Paul. Your great learning is driving you insane." Now notice, they know his pedigree. They know his background. I mean, this guy had more doctorates than you could hang on a wall. And Paul replies in verse 25, "I'm not insane." Notice how he responds to him. "Excellent, Festus." Still very respectful. "What I'm saying is true and reasonable. That's important about your story. Don't exaggerate. The king is familiar with these things. Festus, this might be new to you. And I can speak freely to him. I'm convinced that none of this has escaped his notice because it wasn't done in a corner. Now he takes his story and he says, this has been historically verified. And then notice the testimony isn't over until he talks directly to the person he wanted to talk to. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do. And then notice the king's response, verse 28. Then King Agrippa said to Paul, do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? Did this guy get the idea of what was happening here? And then Paul replied, short time or long time, I pray God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, a believer in Christ, except for these chains. And then the king, after hearing that with the governor and Bernice and those sitting with him, they left the room. And while talking with one another, they said, this man's not doing anything that deserves death or imprisonment. In other words, he hasn't done anything wrong. And Agrippa said to Festus, this man could have been set free if he hadn't appealed to Caesar. What I want to do now is let you know that that's how easy it is in a natural way, under pressure, in any setting, to tell your story. This isn't rocket science. What I want to do now is just walk through, and I want you in your mind's eye to say, okay, how could I share my story? I want you to think about BC, what was your life before Christ? And then I want you to think through conversion. How did you come to know Christ personally, the actual day, the actual event? And then AD, how did your life change after trusting Christ? And what I'm going to do is I'm going to try and just model this for you. And what I'll just ask the question, and then I put a few little keys to help you think through what you ought to put down. And then I'll just share my testimony through this so you can say, oh, that's kind of basically how you do it. All right? So, first question I want you to ask and answer is, BC, or before Christ, what was your life like? And I would say start with three things. You want to look at what was your life like in terms of external issues? What were you dealing with? What was your life like externally? I mean, if someone took a camera and just took a moving picture of your life before you were a Christian, what were some of the external issues? And then if they could take some sort of a spiritual microscope and look inside your heart, what were the internal issues? What were you thinking? What were you feeling? What were you struggling with? And then the third thing is the realization of your need. When was it that you realized whatever you were believing, whatever you were thinking, however you were living, it just wasn't cutting it? Okay? Let me give you mine. External issues. I came from a home where my mom and dad were both teachers. We were athletes. School was important. Girls were important. I was fairly religious until I could get out of it. I went to a church that didn't teach the Bible. There was a lot of hypocrisy. And basically, I came up with a mode of what I believe life was all about. My dad was a GI. He had that conviction, you know what, I want it better for my kids than it was for me. He was a faithful guy. We were a moral home. We went to church. And we didn't deal with any of these inner life issues and all that stuff that happened, you know, later in the 80s and the 90s. But I'll tell you what, you know, you ate as a family. And I came to this conclusion. If I would work hard and be a success in the things that mattered to me, then I would be happy. Now, I didn't, it's not like I wrote it on a card. The unconscious belief system was this. Work hard, set goals about what you want to be or what you want to become, and when you become it, that will make you happy. And now let me tell you where I was at in my realization that that doesn't work. I graduated from high school, 400 or 500 kids and top 25 in my class, had almost straight A's, had an athletic scholarship, dated a very pretty girl. All the things that I thought would make me happy, I had. I'm not one of those people who, you know, life went terrible and, you know, so I went into drugs and alcohol. I mean, I never drank in high school. I never tried a drug and it was huge on our campus. I didn't have time. I was too busy hitting my goals. And I'll never forget, we were on outside Ohio State's campus at somebody's apartment in a graduation party. And I'm sitting next to a gal. She had really long blonde hair. Her name was Jackie. And she says, you know, Chip, you got it made, don't you? I said, well, what do you mean? She goes, well, you know, you date this cute little girl, you know, who's a junior. I said, yeah. She said, you got really good grades. I said, well, yeah. She goes, you got your college paid for, it sounds like. I said, yeah, you know, I got a couple little things I got to do to knock that out, but yeah, pretty much. And she said, "It seems like you come from a pretty nice house." Now, she didn't know my dad was an alcoholic, and she didn't know where we'd been the last 2 years, but on the outside, we looked pretty good. And she said, "You know, you're popular and all this jazz." She said, "You must be really happy." And the Spirit of God used that, because I can only attribute it. I wasn't a believer. But it was like, bang, a light went off, and my equation just went in the trash can. I was successful. I achieved my little goals. I was as empty after she said that as I've ever felt in my life. And I'll never forget driving home, you know, way, way too late, graduation party, and, you know, wee hours of the morning, tiptoeing in so my parents would not be too upset, hearing that dog bark and wanting to kill him. And then going back and sitting on my bed, and I never forget, I looked out the window, and it was like, I'm sure there was that many stars a lot of other nights, I just never noticed them. And there were all these stars, and I sat down, and I was so depressed. And I thought, this is life. You set your goals, and you bust it, and you work really hard, and then once you get it, it's a big zero. So I had already set new goals. I decided I was going to go to school, major in political science, be a lawyer. I mean, I'm a real planner. So I already had it done. Station wagon, luxury car, $300 suits, very good-looking wife, 3 kids, Irish setter, in the suburbs. I'm going to be a lawyer. I'm going to make a lot of money. And then this realization came. And I thought I could do that. I mean, I had a lot of confidence. I lacked a lot of things like humility, but I had a lot of confidence. And then it just hit me. I'm going to spend the next 15 years doing that, and I'm going to end up right where I'm at right now, as empty as I am, maybe worse. And by then, institutional religion, I was turned off, and I didn't know if there was even a God existed. And I prayed probably the first honest prayer, 17, soon to be turned 18. And I looked out at all those stars, and I thought, you know, is all this an accident? Could there be a God? And I remember saying, God, because I was really close to my mom. Here's a bizarre thought. The bizarre thought was, I'm really close to my mom, and percentages are she's going to die before me. And that's going to be really sad. So why live? I mean, it wasn't like I was suicidal, like I was going to go put a gun to my head, but I mean, logically think, well, I mean, why live? The people I love the most are older, they're going to die, and they'll be gone, so I'm going to set all these goals, and I'm going to be empty. What a crock. Life stinks. I could use a stronger word, but it would be inappropriate. And I remember looking at the stars and saying, God, if you exist, because I don't know if you do, will you reveal yourself to me? Because there's got to be more than this. That's my before Christ. You got it? External issues, internal issues, and then the realization of your need.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. And Chip's talk today, How to Share Your Story, is from his popular series, Going Public with Your Faith. If the thought of sharing your faith makes you uneasy or uncomfortable, this series is for you. Going Public with Your Faith goes beyond the basics to help you discover your evangelism style, and then prepares you to tell others about Christ in the way that God designed you to communicate. You'll learn the proven methods for sharing your testimony. And you'll understand how to effectively witness to those people God has placed around you. Going Public with Your Faith is a 5-part CD series, and it's available right now from Living on the Edge for a special on-air discount price. You know, there's no greater joy than leading someone to Christ and watching God change a life for eternity. Call Living on the Edge today at 1-888-333-6003. That's 1-888-333-6003 for complete pricing and ordering information for the series Going Public with Your Faith. Now, in addition to our current series, Chip has another resource that he'd like to get in your hands this month. Well, here's Chip with more.
Hi, this is Chip. Before we close today's program, I want you to know you really can share your story, and people will hear your story. But one of the reasons that I know as an early believer I didn't is I knew I could share my story, but then I knew they were going to ask me a question like, well, with all the options out there and all the different gods, what makes you think that Jesus is the only way? And I knew my answer to that was, duh, I believe it, but I don't know. And, you know, later on I would read C.S. Lewis and More Than a Carpenter by Josh McDowell and, you know, Francis Schaeffer and J.P. Moreland and all these great wise people. But I didn't have the answers, and I didn't know how to explain it. And so what I've done for you is we put together a series called Why I Believe that takes what many, many smart, wise people have done and package it in a way so that a person like you and a person like me can give that on a CD format and say, you know, you don't have to throw your brains in the trash to believe in Jesus. Those tough questions about, is Jesus the only way? Can you believe in creation? Here, listen to this. You evaluate, you be the judge, and then let me buy you a cup of coffee and let's talk about it. So you share your story and let us put a tool in your hands to reach those that you think maybe you could never reach.
Well, thanks, Chip. For our limited time, we're making this series, Why I Believe, available for a gift of any amount. It's our way of saying thank you for your support of Living on the Edge. Now, to take advantage of this special offer, call Living on the Edge today at 1-888-333-6003. That's 1-888-333-6003 with your gift of any amount, and we'll send you your copy of the 5-part CD series, Why I Believe. That number again is 1-888-333-6003. 1-888-333-6003. Now here's Chip with some closing thoughts from today's message.
We ended today. You heard me teaching about how to tell your story by me telling my story. What I'd like you to do is lean back emotionally and mentally and relax. Let me try and persuade you on something, okay? I really mean this. You have a story to tell. I mean, would you think about this out loud? You don't need to be an expert. You don't need to know everything. You don't have to have apologetics down and be able to answer every question. Is all that good? Absolutely. But what I want you to know is a lot of us don't share our faith because we are so fearful that we don't have what it takes to share it. And I want to remind you the most powerful thing you have to share is your story. It's your story of how Jesus changed you. People are interested in your story. It comes up naturally once you begin to think about it. When you meet someone on a plane or at a coffee shop or at a lunch break, don't you ask them stuff like where did you grow up and tell me a little bit about your family background? And what do? They tell their story. If you can begin to learn and think in ways in the most natural, selfie-facing, low-key manner, they're going to ask you, basically, well, tell me about you. And what they're really saying is, will you share your story or your testimony with me? It doesn't have to be hard sell. When you get to part about Christ, you don't have to change your voice and say God or Christ or anything like that. You can just tell them what? Remember our outline? This is what my life was like before Christ. Now, if someone's just inviting casual conversation, I don't suggest that's how you start your story. But in our next broadcast, we're going to give you some very specific ways to do that. But what I want to convince you of is tell your story. Tell them what your life was like growing up before Christ. Tell them in a natural way exactly how you met him without being preachy. And third, tell them how your life is different and include some of the very real, genuine struggles that you still have. God will use your story. And you know something? No one can tell it better than you. No one. And your story is unique. God has done a special, marvelous, supernatural work in you that is unique to you, and people are interested, they relate to it, and God will use it powerfully. You know, just think for a second. Just think for a second. The Apostle Paul is a bright guy, right? He could pull out any apologetics that he wanted, right? Right. He gets this chance in Acts 26 to defend himself and to share the gospel. And out of his evangelistic arsenal, what does he pull out? He pulls out his story. Learn to tell your story. And if you want to learn how, be with us on our next broadcast.
Well, thanks, Chip. As we wrap up today's program, let me remind you that Living on the Edge is now on TV. That's right. You can watch Living on the Edge each Monday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on DirecTV Channel 378. Now, this new television program has the same great teaching from Chip Ingram. And it's a great way to introduce others to the ministry or to the gospel. That's Living on the Edge TV, each Monday night at 7 Eastern on DirecTV Channel 378. Well, join us again tomorrow as Chip continues our current series, Going Public with Your Faith. For Chip Ingram and the entire staff at Living on the Edge, I'm Dave Druey. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Living on the Edge.